Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's good for us to be here. I miss you guys, you know, here, over here at the pasture place. I was at the shelter. I'm sure you know, you are already aware, and I missed you guys. Come on. I'm happy to be back here. Come on. I know. Yeah, I heard the gist. I told you on Wednesday. They say I should go. I should not come back. Abby? Okay. But anyway, I'm back. All right. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. I want to begin to share with you something very, very powerful. I think something that would help us. Help us walk in light of the things that God wants to do in our lives. You see, we serve a good God who wants to go beyond giving us good news, right? Bringing us good news to actually giving us good things, right? We serve a good God. He wants to bring good things into our lives. He wants to go beyond just our hearing some good things to actually receiving and enjoying the good things that He has for us. And, you know, I began to share with you, I've talked about how to maximize the grace of God, some simple things you need to do to maximize God's grace. And we also came into the light of understanding God's sufficiency for every situation. And we said, there's grace, His grace abounds towards us. There is sufficiency for our lives for every situation. His ability, His power is sufficient for every situation and everything in our lives. I want to share with you more. We are in this year of the glad tidings of good things. The good things. The emphasis is the good things, right? Glad tidings of good things. Lord wants to do so much. We serve a good God, and He wants to do so much in our lives. And there's this place where we have to cooperate with God so that we can see those good things in our lives. It is not something He's not holding back from us. There's actually so much abundance in our lives. What we need to do is learn how to cooperate with God, know the things and the ways through which these things will enter into our lives, and begin to enjoy them. Hallelujah. This is 2026, and there are good things in store for you. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
So many good things. They are brought to us through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the basis, the foundation by which we receive the good things that God has in store for us. I want to talk to you about the Word. I titled this thing, The Word Became Flesh. How the Word became flesh, right? Amen.
Amen.
So, normally I would like to read it before I begin to speak. So, I think I would follow that pattern. I didn't want to read. I wanted to show you something. But let's just read the scripture since you are looking at me like that. You are still looking at me like that. Just one Sunday. One Sunday. You are still looking at me like that. Alright, so let's read first. I was not interested in reading first. I wanted to speak to you first, but I'm going to hide my head inside my Bible right now so that you don't look at me with that eyes. In John chapter number 1, and we'll start off, let's just read. Should I read? I think I'm going to require those verses I was telling you just now. So, let's start from verse number 11. I want to read John chapter 1 from verse number 11 through to verse number 17. I'm only going to pick 3 verses there, but let's just read that context. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse number 11, we begin, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to talk to you about something very fundamental that would actually help you to begin to walk in the blessings of God for your life. And in many years of my preaching, this truth, this revelation is pivotal. It is not a matter of not knowing it, but bringing it to you and finding the basis upon which to share with you, so that you can now begin to walk and enjoy the blessings of God. The key there in verse number 14 is the word was made flesh. There's this issue we have in receiving the blessings that God has in store for us. Pay attention. Very important what I want to say. The thing is this. There's this error when we say God will do it. When we say God will do it, or we say God has done it. Right? God has done something for you, and you pray. You go there and you pray and you say, God will do it. Amen? And then you leave the base of prayer and say, yes, I am assured, right, that God will do it. The thing there is that believers now turn their face towards God and say, now they've released their faith in the place of prayer and even in the word, that they've received a word from God that he will do it. So they go about with confidence that God will indeed do it, without understanding how he will do it. How the thing that he has said will come into their lives will actually now come into their lives. The revelation to make this thing clear, the light is to make this thing clear, is in verse number 14, where the Bible says, and the word became flesh. The word became flesh. And the word was made flesh. The NIV says the word became flesh. I just preferred it. It's just sweeter to say. And the word was made flesh. It became flesh. Everything that God wants to do, I'm preaching now, so pay attention. Everything that God wants to do in your life, everything he has said he will do in your life, will have to be made flesh. It will have to pass through a human being to enter into your life. In essence here, now in this scripture, we see that the grace of God, the blessings of God for our lives, the love that God has for us, had to be made even flesh. Almost done. If you get that, this is hard. I thought you said you would do it. When God wants to enter into your life, what he has to do, he couldn't even beat the system. The system is that if he wants to do something in your life, it has to be made flesh. So the word of God had to even be also made flesh to bless us. It means the grace of God in verse number 17. Go to verse number 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. It was given through flesh. And grace and truth. So the grace of God, when we say the grace of God upon our lives, there is grace upon my life. Right? We are not talking about a spiritual thing hovering in the air. We are talking about people actually. When God says I'm blessing you, it means that he's sending somebody to you. When you receive a word, this is very pivotal. Though I am saying the word became flesh, my discussion for the next few weeks will be about human relationships. How pivotal they are to our lives. If you do not develop and nourish relationships, you will not be able to see the power and the grace and the love of God manifest in your life. Because the word became flesh. Everything must be fleshed into your life. So you take note of that. I'm going to continue using that word. He must flesh it. So in essence, if he's going to give you something, if God is going to demonstrate his love towards you, he must flesh it. Yes, that demonstration of God's love will be through somebody. we really might not like this message. I can imagine why you will not like it. Because you will now begin to think about, so it is important that you develop human relationships. One of the things that people are trained to do is they are trained to cut off people. It's very easy. You don't go online and say, I cut off anybody that don't call me, I cut off. People are not trained and taught that human relationship has to be nourished. You nourish a relationship to bring about the blessing from that relationship. And so we treat people anyhow and then we pray. We look up to God and look down on men. But God will always use men. Everything he will bring into your life, I'm singing it now. Everything he will bring into your life, the blessings he spoke to you about in the place of prayer, will come into your life through men. Yes, I'll show you scriptures. We are fond of doing that. The word has to become flesh and then we will walk in it. So if we say that God loved us, how was that love manifested? In a statement, how was it manifested? In flesh, the flesh of Jesus Christ. The love of God, the Bible says God demonstrated his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. He did say something. He sent flesh. The law was weak in that it could not make us perfect. But what the law could not do in that it was weak, God sent his son to do it. He will have to send a man to solve that issue in your life. While the Bible says the people of God prayed and sought God, the Bible says he came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. That's what I show you in verse number 11. So you can pray to God and say, Father, this is what I want to see in my life. The response of God is that he will send somebody. He will send people into your life to make that thing happen in your life. You get what I'm saying now? He will send people. So a Christian, that says he's now a Christian and will not develop relationships with people and will not build and know how and learn principles of nourishing relationships and says, I have a relationship with God and God has spoken to me, he will never see the manifestations of the things of God in his life. I'm telling you. You will see it. I have a relationship with God. That's why hyper-spiritual people always miss it. They miss it because they don't interact with people. They say that they've spoken to God and God has said he will do it. Immediately God says he wants to do something, just know that he has touched somebody else, somebody, a flesh. Alright? He has fleshed it. He will have to give it into the heart of a man to bring that money to you. He will put it into the heart of somebody to do something for you. That thing he has said he has going is given to you, it is through the hand of somebody to come. So the key here is I want to show you now, the human side of the divine blessing. Right? The human side of the divine blessing. When we get the divine blessing, we must understand there's that human side to it. The divine blessing must and will pass through the human side. And so if you are fighting the person, you are fighting the person there, or you are not building that relationship or nourishing the relationship there, you can have the divine blessing, but it will not have the channel to which it will pass through. So I will say something like, I wanted to talk about the bridge of blessing. Excuse me. How the blessings of God will enter into your life. How there's that to be a bridge there. And you can say like that. But that bridge there is human being. The divine side, the human side of the divine blessing. That divine blessing that you have received must pass through the human side. And so developing the human side is very important to unlocking the blessing so that it can flow into your life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So if you don't develop that side and nourish that side, the divine blessings can be on the other side, the grace of God released towards you, but it cannot flow to you because you damage the channels for which it will enter into your life. You get what I'm saying now? So Christians will not walk about and say now that we have met with God, he has spoken to me, he has blessed me. You have to be calm and know that, see, God has blessed me and he has blessed me through people. Let me tell you, your greatest assets, the blessings of God. When you say God has blessed you, it means that he has blessed you with men. He has blessed you with people. That's me. There's one error I said I would correct in the course of this teaching. I will teach. It's a small error. The error of the fact that they say your spouse it's an error, small error. But there's this concern about the person I marry. It is true. You have to be concerned. I'm not saying not to be. But the truth is that the person you marry is just one. No? The people that God wants to use to bless you, there are many. Do you understand what I'm saying? My blessings have come to my life. They're not only to my wife. I'm not only a blessing. You're not getting what I'm saying. Some people, I know I'm saying this. I'm telling you, this is very powerful. What you just say, yeah, this boy, I just have this boy, I just have this boy, I just mind. And then you are only nourishing one relationship. They are paying you secure to that relationship. And that's why people now talk about something like, it is not, because it's February, I just did the Red Friday with couples, I did love and blah, blah, blah. Something. It just became clear, really, I said it in this thing. Because the problem is, once people start to do that thing, and they say they lost themselves, they died inside the relationship. You know why? They knocked out every other relationship and kept only one. He says it's only that boy. Let me tell you, you can't talk to only one boy. And you can't just say, why are you talking to me? You don't know I'm engaged, I'm couple. You can't have a relationship with anybody. And if you are ladies, if you are a guy, you are having this jealousy problem, you have a problem because you cannot bring all the best into that person's life. Huh? I mean, it's not possible. I've had to interact with some ladies that will help me. My husband not say, I'm the wife. You cannot bring, relationships are the key through which God will bring blessings to your life. So you must nourish relationships. You must have them. The word will have to become flesh. God's grace and truth and mercy will come into your life by a person. I'm the one that the Lord has shown mercy. What is the meaning of that statement? When somebody says, I'm the one that God has shown mercy, what is the meaning of that statement? It means that God has brought somebody into your life who has redeemed you from all the errors you have made. That's the truth. That's the meaning. But Christians will take it in a spiritual sense. I'm the one God has shown mercy. I agree. How? He came from heaven, right? No. It was the mercy of God was entered into your life because somebody came into your life and in spite of all your errors, just loved you and just opened the door for you. And then you see the mercy of God. And so you can come out and say, I'm trying to correct the thought. I'm the one that God has shown mercy, or God has done it for me, or God said he will do it. He won't come down from heaven and do it. So let's begin to look at, I'm going to give you another scripture so you can see I'm making speech. But my lead verse is, the word had to become flesh. All right, God had to flesh it. So let's start with Moses in Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. Okay, you have this. Let's go. Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Let's go fast. And the Lord said, I want to show you scriptures now. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taxed masters. For I know their sorrow. So this is God. And they have cried unto God, right? Verse number 8. And I am come down, see that now? He said, I am come down, Abby? Yes, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take note, and I am what? Come down to deliver them. Yes. Next verse. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Next verse. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Who came down? Is it now? He came down through Moses. And the people reacted to Moses in a very funny way. And they were angry with Moses all the time. But who prayed to God to come and help them? Did God come to help them? Yes. He came through Moses. He came in Moses. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He will come into your life through people. I'm telling you, very simple. One of the hidden things people don't understand about a life. This thing people don't, and it's painful, and this is one of the things I say, one of the greatest things I thought, is Christians miss it. Christians, the thing they don't understand is the place of people. People treat people anyhow. People do anything they want to do. They can do anything to you and say they have a relationship with God and that God will do it for them. I've not seen anything as foolish as that. I'm telling you. This is, I say, one of the most pivotal things I'm doing. You can literally, you as you are, going praying in tongues and coming to church, can literally stop the flow of God's blessing in your life. I mean, people are not, I will teach you, we are going to do this thing, which I'm going to show you. And people are not, they don't relate to you, they don't care. It's just like, I think if I come to church and I pray Kalabasata, and I can damn everybody and go. And I can do that and go. And it will mean that God will do it. It will not happen. God's working in your life. My greatest blessing. When I say God has really blessed me, it's not money. There are people everywhere. I have people everywhere. People. Your greatest asset is actually people. Your religion. That's your greatest asset. When God says, I want to bless you, right? I want to prosper you. You are thinking about it like that and say God will do it. And then you are excited because your faith is released towards heaven. That your faith has released in heaven. You will collect it, Abby. The next thing is to look around and to nourish your relationship, because it's going to be through one of those relationships that somebody will call you and say somebody is calling somebody that did not give your number to somebody who will not give you that number, that will not give you, not get that job. You will be working in a big company making money. The truth is that the company, the money didn't fall from sky. Huh? It came through the person who called you and said your friend saw your number and now gave your friend. If you pray to God and damn everybody in your life, God is my witness. I tell you, I mean, I'm speaking from God, so I'll show you scripture. Nothing will happen. I will show you. Nothing will happen. So we can pray and talk about the good things that God has in store for us, but those good things can never enter into your life if you damn people everywhere. If you just do whatever you like. You can't do whatever you like. That's why I don't do whatever I like. You have to relate with people, because the blessing, I'll show you, I think the one thing I can cover only one today. I'll show you. I want to give you enough scripture so that you see it clearly. That the blessing, we think that you, when you consider people, and if you learn to relate with people, you start to walk in the blessings of God. You start to see doors open for you. If you learn that. If there's anything you need to really catch, is how to relate to people. I'm not sure. No, not all those books. I'm teaching you the Bible. I'm going to show you from scriptures. People's skills, how you are doing that there. It's very important. I'll show you that. It's not what you are thinking. I know. I think what you are thinking. You'll be kind to people. Play around and dance everybody. No. There's anything you want, I'll do for you so that I can. In case of tomorrow, no, you're talking nonsense. Let's talk about stuff here, right? All right. And now, come therefore, I will send you. So the children of Israel said, I will come down and will help you. I have come down. No, is it? I have. Go. Can you just go to the restaurant? I will come down, right? Two verses there, right? And I am come down to deliver them. We didn't see him anywhere. We saw him through Moses. And so the people that were speaking against Moses, who were they speaking against? God. If they were hindering Moses, what were they doing? God. They were hindering God. And guess, after they finished fighting Moses, you know what they'll go and do? They'll go and pray. After they finish fighting Moses, they'll go and pray. They'll fight Moses, they'll go and pray. God is like, now me send down. But who will pay attention? All my relationship is with God. As far as I have a relationship with God, then everything is done. No, you have to have a relationship with men. Alright. This one we don't need to turn there. We know it. So I just want to be fast so I can have the things I want to say today. If you now consider the couple in John chapter number 2, right? Or if you want, it's there. Their miracles came from the fact that they have relationship with Jesus. If you had a wedding and Jesus was not there, you would have had the privilege to call him and talk to him. And imagine, and the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee and the mother of Jesus was there. Next verse. Yes, just do it. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. The thing that brought that miracle into their life was relationship with Jesus. Imagine they were born in Jesus. You get it clear now? No. The mistake, I think I've taught this verse a lot. We did almost one whole year. The thing there is that they did not know he was Jesus. So don't think they invited him because he was pastor. That's why some people now think that if they just do pastor and they go and damn everybody, it won't work. You can't pray here and damn everybody. No neighbors. There are people in your life that God has brought to you. You must learn to nourish them. Do you understand what I'm saying? As at when they invited him to this wedding, he was just their friend. So just a guy. Don't say, invite this guy, invite the mother, just come. That's what they had. It was through their friend. The truth is that they had a deep relationship with Mary, because it was Mary that knew there was no wine and went to Jesus. So they had a good relationship. If they were beefing Mary, come on, for whatever reason, Mary still will sit down and say, wine has finished. What about if people are not moving in your life because of you? Do you understand what I'm saying? This thing is very important. So you have to get it. You have to buy fire and thunder. Do you get this thing? What about if you are not seeing the thing because of your relationship? Because Mary had the capacity to speak to Jesus. Jesus was there because they also invited him. He was called. They told him to come. But they did not know whether he had my wine, water turning to wine power. They didn't know. The only reason why you invite this person to come is because you know he has power, be? Problem. That's the problem. We are damaging relationships, relating with some certain kind of people, only this person, and we are thinking that it is through this person that the thing will come into our lives. They didn't know. Jesus was just a regular guy. So as far as they were concerned, he's one of our friends. Mary was their neighbor, who they knew very well and invited her. So she came, he talked to Jesus, and so the miracle actually came by relationship. Relationships. Right? I'll give you some more. Acts 13:22. I'll give you in matter of two or three witnesses, the Bible says every truth is established. Right? Anything that God wants to do in your life will have to be what? Fleshed. So you cannot take that one. It will have to be flesh. It will have to pass through flesh. Our redemption was what? Fleshed. In the person of Jesus Christ. His love for us was demonstrated in the what? In the flesh. In Jesus Christ. Not that God loves me, I know that. The knowing is in the flesh. It had to flesh through somebody. It had to pass through a person. It had to be fleshed. And when he had removed him, that is talking about Saul. I want to begin to touch something. I'm establishing flesh. Establishing it there. That everything that God does, when we see miracles in people's lives, I mean, the thing that I've seen in my life, I just because of people around. Nothing more than that. I mean, people. Somebody calls somebody and says, somebody. Doors will open. It's just one phone call that opens doors. And it's a woman being that will make the phone call. It's a human being. Just one contact. That's the problem. Not saying we have prayed and God has done it. Yes, then you damage all the relationships. You don't go anywhere. Nothing will do. He won't come from heaven and come and be talking to people. And when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto them who? David, to be their king. To whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. After we read that part, we jump and say, you just need to be a man after God's heart. Beautiful. The next phrase there is powerful. What will he do? We shall fulfill all my will. You see that there? God has a will in heaven. But that will cannot be fulfilled here on earth unless it is through a man. So if one man misses it, he cannot now say, because the man misses that we enter, he can't enter. You know what he will do? He will find another man. It's established. Nobody can hurt you. God will only use somebody else. That's why I've told you. When in my course of teaching, I told you it's useless. You can't say, I will do this against you. You're just wasting your time. He will only push you aside and get somebody else to fix that thing. But that thing will be done. The thing that will be done will be done. But I'm teaching you now how you can enter into the blessings, understanding that God will work only through men. So if in wisdom, the best thing you can do in your relationship with God is to begin to have a nourished relationship with men. The word must become flesh. He will now use another man. You call somebody else. If somebody says, when God calls somebody else to you, call somebody to you, and the person decides not to do it. Now, don't be mistaken. I say, people have power. Yes, now. But just when I'm talking about God's sufficiency, as I have taught you, it's a teaching, right? You have to stay true. Now, it means now that what God wants to do, he will do it. So the fact that Saul says he will not help you does not mean you will not be helped. It only means that he will raise up another man. So nobody has the corner on God. Nobody can say that's how I finish. You can't finish that. You can't finish a man that God said I want to bless. What God said I want to give you money. If your uncle like, let him be working in the biggest company, I don't call you. You will have money. It will just be through another man. You know that I can't tell you a scripture, but so let me give you this one. You know that Mordecai said this thing to Esther. He said, see, if you will not save now and go and speak now, God will raise up himself from another place. From another place, he will do it. But he must use another place. So in wisdom, when you see this thing, the word became flesh. What is now the wisdom that we believers get? We now get the wisdom of nourishing relationships. How are you? It's so easy to block and cut. It's so easy. That's the part. I mean, that one is on social media. Cut off on the Twitter. If anybody that don't call you, that is the easy part. The nourishing part is the hard part. Right? The nourishing part. So we looked at David. We looked at Moses. Naaman. Let's look at Naaman. 2 Kings chapter number 5. You see, the way that blessings come into your life is through people. This is an easy something, eh? This is good. Easy. I'm showing you scriptures. Two or three witnesses you see there. Two or three witnesses. You're just one person away from the things that God wants to do in your life. Glad tidings of good things. When we are teaching every year, when God gives us a word, the word of God comes to help us appropriate and enjoy that word. Now, so the good things, I'm not talking about good news. I believe it. There's good news. The good news must always be about good things. And so we must go deeper into the things. I want to receive the things that God has in store for me. Those things will not fall from sky. They will come through people. His movement in my life, his power flowing into my life will flow into my life through people. The word will have to become flesh. Now, how did Naaman get the miracle? You will say that he met Prophet Elijah. But in between Elijah and the miracle, you will see that it was all people true and true. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. And honorable because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Next verse. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Next verse. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. You see that now? She was talking to Naaman's wife. Let me tell you why I'm showing that the people there. So the beginning of Naaman's miracle and healing was from the mouth of that girl, that maid there. And it came out of her mouth because she was not being maltreated. She was a nobody in the house. And she could talk to the woman because she was not being maltreated. I mean, I beat it again, you idiot, you fool. You idiot, you fool cannot, will not talk. We will know, I will show you clearly, that there's a good relationship. Naaman had a good relationship with people around him, even his servants. This is where people miss it. I'm telling you, so don't pay attention to her. People will think that if you go up, you get the thing there. Down there, the secret to your blessing can be down there with security man at the gates. How many times have people damned somebody? It's very funny. This one, is real. The kind of person I am. I can be in my reception. I'm talking and just doing stuff. Maybe I'm there. Maybe I'm looking outside, do something. Someone who comes in the clinic. I'll agree. Good afternoon, man. Come to the clinic. Don't answer. Just walk inside and see receptionist. And they keep talking. What if he's talking to everything and all that? You say, I want to see the doctor. They get me to see me. When they come in, do not give me good afternoon, sir. Yes, sir. You don't need to write doctor on face. You don't write it on the forehead. You won't know. Why not just answer? Yeah? If I were a kind of person, your life has changed. Because you're just there. Don't belittle people. People do it too much and it's bad. You don't know what. How hard is it to answer? Respond to a greeting. I mean, you don't even know who the person is. You answer. I don't want to answer you. Next thing, I'll just walk through into my office, throw there, throw towards and get there. Then when you come, I'm not saying something that happened 5 years ago. Just to say, when I come into the office and give you good afternoon, sir. I mean, like good afternoon, sir. But I greeted you first just now outside. You walk past me. But now I'm sad because I'm sitting on this chair. You see? Because you saw me outside, you didn't know. If this was the person that was going to attend to me, you didn't know. It's very dangerous. Now, let me show you next verse. 11, go to verse number 11. Verse number 11 of this same chapter. I want to show you something. You see that Naaman had a good relationship with the staff, these people there. Because the Bible says, but Naaman was wroth. You see that he would have missed his blessing. He didn't even know about the blessing. A servant gave him information. Information came from a servant too. Info. You say you're looking for info from up. Info came from down. But Naaman was wroth. He was going to miss it again. And went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Next verse. And not Abana and Pharpar river of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. This is the key. Next verse. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father. See that? If the prophet... No, finish. I'm done. They came and said, my father. They said, our mumu or God don't start the mumu again. Yeah. Yeah. Finish. He related with them like they have mind. They came and said, "My father." The man is angry. He's vexed. They go, what nonsense that man will kill him. I'm coming back with soldiers to kill him. He said, "Father, my father." And they spoke to him. And he heard what? God's blessings came into his life. One, we say two. We can say the girl. But if you want to shrink the whole thing, the one, he could have gone. I thought the girl gave him before, he would have lost the blessing. And you can cry to God to bring down power to you from heaven. It will come through a man. The word became flesh. You understand what I'm saying? He would have missed it here if he did not listen to them. If he did not have a good relationship with them. He would have missed it. That's how rain will be falling and your cloth will be outside and rain will beat all your cloths. Because you don't talk to any of your neighbors. And they will show you, one day, it will become clear that you are not God. Even though you are very near God. Now you near God pass. But rain will beat the cloth. They will fall for grant. You know when your clothes, not down the line, no, breeze will not blow, do not be on it. So rain will not beat them. When you come back, you'll be confused. With all your anointing. After Wednesday's night prayer, Calabaya, rain will beat the cloth. Then you now say, "Where is God?" God say, "No, I was there. I would have used your neighbors, but you blocked all the channels. You blocked all. I couldn't. You get a bottle of salt, you kill him, you shout. The other one caught yam, you say the yam passed front of your store, you die. You die. You, know I mean? You can't fight, you just can't destroy all the relationships in your life and expect my blessings to flow. Where will it pass?" Do you see what I'm saying now? The good things that God wants to give to us will live from this hand to from somebody's hand into your hand. So if you cut everybody's hand around you, there will be no way for this thing to flow. They came and said, "My father, are you there? Should I give you more? A man who will execute all my will." It's not enough for God to have a will to bless you. He will need a man who will execute that will. Right? We talked about that already. Are you still in church? He will need a man to execute that will. He will need a man to execute that will. So, it's not about him having the will and his mind to bless you. The Lord has been mindful of us. And what? He'll bless us. Right? But he's mindful of us. We have to now be in the hearts of somebody else. I was teaching my wife yesterday. We talked about that. I was not teaching. I was just talking to her about what I was preaching today. I was saying, look at your life. I mean, the job where she's working right now. She got the job. You know, we had... I mean, it's so very funny. There's this lady, it's very funny. I'll just give you a brief cut on that. This lady, she was working with somewhere, right? And they changed management somehow. So she stepped away from that place. Oh, no, sorry. She met somebody some time ago. Sorry, I was thinking about somebody else. She met somebody some time ago and had a relationship with this person, a very good relationship, and then left it at that. And then the lady was now, we found out later the lady was working in that very place. Ah, so like, come back and I'll be like, you called her, said that she was playing the whole thing back and forth. It was always story. Ah, you had David, what's going on here? It was so tough. But we just found out that she found out something, I don't even know how that happened anyway, but that her colleague was doing a part time something there, like an internship in that same organization. So she just spoke to the person and said, I'd like to work here. And he said, "Ah, no problem now. Send your documents, gave it to somebody." I said, "Dude, there's this somebody here who is even who I know very close, even our tribe's person, blah blah blah." And then and then gave the document and she's got a job. So by then she resumed work. The lady that we knew that we had even spent time with there, so I'm like, sorry, I said apologizing. It's not like that. I know best for you. Sorry. But the thing came through somebody who she met in school, campus. That's what I'm saying now. And I say, God has done it for you. Pastor, God don't like you. His person, his people. If you were quarreling with that lady there, and then you are falling and fighting, she would not say, okay, so I mean, you would think the channel will come through somewhere. I mean, the person there was a staff. The person that helped was just doing internship. Not even staff. Helped. Relationships. They are the basic things of your life. You need to have them. You need to nourish them. You need to know what to do. Amen? Naaman, right? They said, "My father." That was the key there. My father. So the maiden also must have seen him like that. They loved him. You have people around you that say, "They don't care. They don't care." If you nourish relationships, right? You get so many blessings. And people be wondering how and why. It's very simple. Sometimes just small keys open big doors. Small kid, just a simple, how are you? How did that thing you were telling me about, just remembering the person, remembering what they discussed. You know, you could be talking to somebody and then he told you about something he was going through. And then you just went through as everybody's going through something. When you remember that, say, you were talking to me about that, so how is it now? Is it better now? Oh, it's good, all right. And so you see that you are caring. It doesn't concern anybody. Just goes in, comes out, damn everybody and go, it won't work. You know what I'm saying? Good relationship. All right. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Are we done now with that, establishing that fact? 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. All right. Now, there are few instances where you will find that the Lord moved outside of people. But it didn't take long before he transited to people. Right? I want to say that because of this passage I want to read. There's this thing I used to say. I always tell ladies, it's funny, this one is funny, but it's something. I'm not saying you just open up to everybody, but you have to be wise. But at least tell ladies, I've seen my wife, I'm just like, you should just come to you and say, how are you doing? I just start talking before you know, and say, it is liking me. I just say, must you insult the person? Must you just say you are an idiot, good, stupid man? Must you reach there? Even if you are not, even if you think this person is interested in you, ladies, this is directed to all ladies. I'm around people, so I teach, I just talk, but I think it's nice that everybody hears this something. Ladies are too quick to assume that everybody around them is interested in a relationship with them. So if a guy does come, so you see, stupid man, why do people insult you? Why do most of the ladies, if somebody likes you and you don't like the person, must you curse the person? Understand that part. Why not just let this guy down gently? Even if that is the case, you know why I say that is because me, I'm a very normal person. I'm just a guy. I tell my wife, where me, I know myself. I can be talking to you. Oh, your eyes, you're looking good today. It'd be funny if you think that I have any interest. But imagine you just say, damn you, shut up, idiot boy. I mean, it's not everybody that comes around you that just wants are interested. They might not even be thinking relationship at all. Why I'm saying that is that you could just finish cursing the boy and find out later in the next few years that you need to pass through his office for something that you need to do. What would you now say? If he doesn't, you would say that is wickedness. If he's not interested in helping us, it's not still his fault too. Because remember, the thing will pass through human hand. It means that human beings are inside. That's why I talked about dealing with the human side of the divine blessing. You see what I'm talking about now? There's the human side of it, and he can decide to retaliate, and you will not, you won't blame him. He's a human, right? To err is human. To err after that is also human. To err back is human. People miss that part. You got it with my back. To err is human. You err. My own err back to you is human also. All of us are human. Let's continue erring. I don't try to err. So the thing is here is don't err. You don't have to err. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You know what I'm talking about? I know I'm talking to. Okay, yes, but this thing to ladies, I just need to just help you. Okay. I have your number. Okay, wait. Don't say my number. You, as you are like this now, you must be a stupid man. Are you not married? Okay, I know you don't. You shouldn't give him your number. You know where he's going to, right? If he's that kind of person, but please, there's no point to that. You get what I'm saying? Not the one. If you grew up, I want to enjoy myself. Should I enjoy myself? Or should I just preach and get out there? I mean, if you grew up in a custody where we grew up in school, and you curse the boy, you don't even know who the boy is. Don't curse him. Just say sorry. I'm not interested. Hey. A word is enough. Let me preach my preaching. Alright. And it came to pass. After a while. They're beating people up for things that don't matter. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried off because there had been no rain in the land. Right? It can be funny. But I'll give you these two scenarios. The scenario was raven. You know the raven, huh? That fed Elijah. Raven. You will see that God provided for Elijah. Huh? Through a raven. You will see another situation where donkey spoke to the prophet. You will see where God helped and intervened in the life of a man through, you will now say something like animals or whatever. I will say flesh. In these cases, you will not find that he came down and did it himself. He will not find a donkey or a raven, but he will find something to use. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Flesh, that is the word. Flesh. Raven is flesh. He can talk, he can come down from heaven and talk, but flesh, very important. So, but the brook dried, and so he turned it another way. And it came to pass, after a while, I want to show you something, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Next verse. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to what? To sustain you. So you will see that God wanted to sustain his servant, but he commanded somebody to do it. I have given you more than two or three scriptures. That would say, more than two or three scriptures, every truth is established. God's work in your life will pass through human. The word has to become flesh. So when God says, I will bless you, show you mercy, and there's grace abundant, you come and I say, in the name of Jesus, there's abundant grace upon your life. What it actually means is that there are so many people around you who will bring that blessing to your life. That's right. So you can't walk away and miss the point of God there. All your relationships are important. Let us not only weigh and stay on the importance and that important relationship of our spouses, but there's that important relationship you must maintain with people all around you. Right? Jesus selected his disciples after prayer. So there's the place where you say he was not marrying them. He was going to spend time with them. He selected them and he prayed diligently and came out and said, you, all right, you follow me. You guys are my disciples. I will show you in the weeks to come how in the selection he selected Judas Iscariot. Right? And how you see, we understand human relationships even from that script, that play, that story. All right, we must learn to nourish relationships. I've told you that already. One of the things I want to do, I don't have much time, but I will begin to show you now, is this relationship how they should be nourished, and you will, so that you can enjoy the presence of God. Let me show you Genesis chapter number 19. I will just do this. We'll round up today. We'll come next week. We'll continue to talk about it. So I'll begin to show you, right, some things you need to do and how to go about nourishing. So we'll begin to talk about nourishing the human side of the divine blessing. The human side of the divine blessing. Because the divine blessing must pass through the human side. Somebody blessed today? All right. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Next verse. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. Next verse. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and they did bake unleavened bread and did eat. Hallelujah. I want to show you, I'll give you more scriptures next week, but I want to just end up with this one. Start off with this, rather here, this week and end up. Anyhow, right? You get my points. I'm going to finish up to this week's talk with this. He pressed upon them greatly and turned, and then he turned into him and entered into his house. One of the things about relationships is that this is one of the biggest things, right? One of the biggest things is that the blessings of God come into your life I'm telling you, it's very powerful. The blessings of God coming to your life will be disguised as work. They will be disguised as need, weakness in the person coming to your life many times, not all, many times. In essence, when Lord called the people, you know, because we read a lot of the Bible stories, and then we miss it. I'm giving you something for, let me go back first. You know the story of Lot, Abby? Come on, talk to me. How he was delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah by the angels. That's the problem. We preach about the divine side. We don't talk about the human side. This thing happened because, right, of Lot saw those men, strangers, and helped them. The real reason why Lot was there, but let me tell you, in case you, because we miss the thing here. If he did not approach them and beg them to come to his house, he would have died. Christians miss this thing. I know. Let me tell you once more. I didn't even plan to say it. One reason why people think about pastors and think that pastors are in a place is that pastors have poured out their heart and their life to people. You don't know. Many of you don't know. There are times I've been awake, 11, 12, I mean, I'm talking to people, 12 in the night. You are sleeping. I mean, pouring out my life, pouring time and everything goes. But people miss it because one of the greatest assets you have in your life is people. And they come around as work. But as work, after building, the person rises up and then come back to say, Pastor, I've been blessed to me. And people start shouting. But they don't nourish relationships. They don't build. They don't suffer for anybody. They build the thing to climb alone by yourself with the very reason why you're not going anywhere. When you are building and nourishing people around you, they will carry you up. It will be very easy. That's not the truth. You know what I'm saying now? They will come in as work. Just pay attention. Really pay attention. People will not want to listen because it's the truth. I mean, all the truths compressed into one. Right? Compressed to one. One simple sentence. He pressed upon them to help them to come into his house. If he did not, no chapter and verse said they were going to come to his house to deliver him. You see that I'm saying now? They didn't come to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and said, we are going to go to Lot's house. He selected his own blessing by the fact that they came and said, see, if Lot is good enough, if that goodness they have been shouting, Lot is a good man, is a good man, let us see it here. It had to be demonstrated. He had to actually go and beg them. He was pressing them to come. It was his blessing he was going to collect, but he was the one pressing them to come. I will show you two more scriptures. Every time people approach Jesus Christ, I will just tell you, Jesus Christ approached a woman to give him water to drink. Who wants to help who inside that relationship? Christians miss it. I mean, you see people, and when somebody is work to you, you begin to cut off the person. That's what they write to you on social media. They are talking nonsense. When you see work, you embrace it. You work with all your life, feeling and pushing that person. That person becomes a lifting up, a lifter for your own life. But people that in their own, and say it's only my destiny I'm interested in, me and my children, and we'll go like that. I'm telling you, the principle has never worked for anyone. Never worked. Because maid will not help you. You help the maid and think that the maid and her children are all idiots and you are children. Things will happen, they will not be able to speak to you and tell you this is... I mean, somebody is now against you and they are aware. They won't say anything. Why would they say anything? After all, they are your maid and you have made it clear that they are beneath you. So if that be the case, go ahead now. Simple. People are suffering for nothing. People even die out of the fact that they maltreat the people that are under them. And the person gets angry and he is devil. Devil now enters him. And kills everybody in the house. And it's on newspaper. It's inside newspaper. But actually, what happens there? Sometimes it's just greed, selfishness, wickedness, and all that. Thinking that I'm in one place and me and being preserved. The truth is this. God will bring blessing into your life through people around you. Right? And you will have to see that not all the time. I'm not leaving this in here. That you will have to go into helping people, and it is in that means that God says that you are now chosen for that divine thing that I want to do in your life. If not, it would have just fallen on anybody's head. It would have been a random something. It falls on some people because they go and take it. They show, they prove that they are worthy to take it. So he proved that he should be preserved by the fact that he went and saw strangers. He sat down there waiting for them. The Bible says he was sitting down there. He saw them. Come. They said, we're not going. We'll just stay on the street. He said, why would you stay on the street? He made a feast for them. You see what I'm saying now? But he did not know. You know what? They appeared like human form. Those normal people. That's how they appeared. Imagine the people in the city saw they were angels. You think they would have come to challenge them? You think they needed food? Those people needed food. They were hungry. They came to save him. Yes, he was the one doing as if he was helping them. Who was actually helping who in this relationship? They came to save him. Jesus stood by that well, to help the woman. Who needed help here? It's not Jesus, but he's the one saying, he just said, give me water to drink. I beg, I cannot fit start stretching water for you. You don't even have anything to draw from. Where are you going to draw this water from? The thing he gave her was bigger than water to drink. He didn't drink water. He's not drinking water. That is how Jesus would just be by your side and say, you're looking good today. He said, you stupid old man. Eh? Can I tell you? I wanted to just say that thing again. People just insult. Why is it? Why are you insulting this person? I mean, it's very terrible. If you are not interested, not to be interested. You don't have to start insulting people. All right. But the idea here is this. The word became flesh. So I need to go home with something. You get this stuff today? That in human relationships, there's a human side to the divine blessing. And all that thing that Lord is bringing into your life, the good things that God wants to do in our lives, He will do it through people. So we must learn to nourish the human side of the divine blessing. Will you bow your heads this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for light. Thank you, Father. Seprax tokila maxedo kosheta damanasiko perigas. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this teaching. I thank you for this light. I thank you for this light. I thank you for this light. Lord, I see that my relationships are important. And I will begin to nourish them. I'll begin to nourish them in the name of Jesus. That the blessings, your blessings for my life can come in as disguised work. But I will nourish them in the name of Jesus. My eyes have been opened to see, and the word became flesh. Grace and truth, mercy came to my life in the person of Jesus Christ. Prosperity and protection, healing and miracles, they will come into your life. Come on, by human flesh. So you say in the name of Jesus, Father, I see now. My eyes are open to see. Nourishing and building relationships is key to walking in the blessings and the goodness for my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the next few weeks, my heart is open. In the name of Jesus. To begin to learn and to develop relationships. In the name of Jesus. To nourish relationships. To open my ears and hear and receive instruction. So that I can walk in your blessings. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, will you pray today? Will you pray today? The Lord will bring somebody into your life to bless you. The Lord has brought me into your life to bring a teaching to you, instructions to you, to guide you. Your pastor is central, is key to speaking God's mind to you. God will speak to you through your pastor. God will speak to you through me. And so you say, pay attention. God has sent me to bring blessing to your life. If you open up your heart and say, Lord, my heart is open. I recognize the relationships you have placed in my life. In the name of Jesus. Shala brake suteri golema. Lema nakasite leges. Shale alemos. My eyes have been opened to see this word now. That the grace and truth, mercy and peace, financial provision and protection, the deliverance will come into my life through human being, through a human person. And so right now, I make up my mind to nourish relationships, to build relationships in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. As I'm praying right now, I just want to say this to you. There are places or there are people. I just want to say this to you right now. Just pray. The Lord just said, just put this in my heart. And there are people you might need to, if you have been in that cut off regime, there are those blocking and cutting. In my whole life, I've never left a group. In my whole life, as a human being, I've not cut off anybody. I've never left a group. I've never existed. No matter what happened, I never existed. I mean, no matter what you do, I never cut anybody. I've never done that. It's very important you understand that. So, if you have done that, you have been there, you damn it, you say this as you need to go back. You might just need to go back. I'm not saying to go and friends and roll on the floor. I mean, just apologize. Open that thing there. Just leave the link there.
The person, I mean, there are principles that will mean that I don't want to even hear negative from you. But come on, we've received negative stuff. Just look at it. I mean, you don't need to block anybody's number. You don't receive something like, I don't answer. I mean, you go on somewhere, somebody put something there and he starts to say something against me. I don't answer. I just look at it. You don't need to do that. If you have done that and severed the relationship, maybe you think, and maybe you will never need the person. It's true, you might never ever, I just let you die, ever call the person and have a relationship. But you don't have to damage anyone. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So I want you to, you might need to go back and just make a decision. Say, I'm sorry, and do other. Don't do that. Don't call anybody else. Amen? Yeah? Alright. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people. I thank you because their eyes have been opened to see. I thank you because they've received wisdom in the name of Jesus. And through the course of the next 2 weeks, they will know how to nourish relationships, and they will build relationships that will bring in the blessings, the good things you have in store for them in the name of Jesus. I pray that they will receive all the good things you have in store for them in the mighty name of Jesus. They will see this channel and they will know how, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, you need to speak into their heart, guiding them to nourish and to cherish relationships that you intend to use to bring the blessings into their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I commit these words into your hands, that you will use them to speak to their hearts, even go beyond the words, and you show them and you will guide them even to build and nourish relationships in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.